This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Happy holidays from the gas station.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. All that holiday running around is going to be a little lighter on the wallet. Gas prices dropped another 11 cents in the past 2 weeks. Analyst Trilby Lundberg says regular unleaded's now at $2.13 a gallon on average. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, they're paying $1.89. Prices have fallen 88 cents since September. For most of us, that money means a lot. For America's wealthiest families, gas could hit $10 a gallon and it wouldn't make much difference. But Andrea Gardner wondered what they're up to this holiday season.
More than 600,000 U.S. households have a net worth of $10 million or more, and a survey from Elite Traveler magazine found that those people will spend more this holiday than last year. The average purchase for handbags and shoes, $29,000. That's up 40%. Over the years, luxury items have dominated holiday sales growth. Some analysts say it's from middle-class consumers trading up, but Elite Traveler's editor Doug Gollan disagrees.
The dirty little secret is that it's really a small number of people who are really ringing the cash register with these big amounts.
And not just at the mall. The rich will spend an average of $367,000 on chartered yachts and a modest $62,000 on ski home and villa rentals. Ah, the sweet life. I'm Andrea Gardner for Marketplace.
The Bush administration's choosing its battles carefully these days. Its ballyhooed tax code overhaul might not make the list. Reports say the White House may now push back its reform plans to 2007, instead of unveiling them at the State of the Union address next month. Today at the White House, President Bush hosts officials from all 50 states to play the what-if game. What if bird flu strikes this country? As Gretchen Cook reports, the states have their own question. Where's the money?
President Bush has proposed spending $7 billion to prepare for a possible outbreak of avian flu in the United States. But George Benjamin, with the American Public Health Association, sees a shortfall already.
There isn't enough for the states.
As it stands, states would be required to pay 75% of the cost for stockpiling antiviral drugs. And Benjamin says the plan doesn't provide enough money for coordination among the states on things like communications and caring for victims.
Make sure people get their shots and that drugs get distributed and that communities are well informed all occur at the state and local level.
State officials are also likely to ask for more money to expand capacity at their already overburdened hospitals and to hire more nurses. In Washington, I'm Gretchen Cook for Marketplace.
Friday, we told you Ford's thinking about closing 5 North American plants. Make that 8. The Automotive News says the automaker will shutter at least that many, including some parts facilities. Atlanta, St. Louis, St. Paul, and Wixom, Michigan are among the assembly plants on the list. Ford unveils its restructuring plan next month. The tech-heavy NASDAQ closed higher for the 7th straight week. The Dow slid back a bit Friday, losing 35 points to 10,877. The NASDAQ climbed 6 to 2,273. The S&P 500 was up less than half a point. U.S. Treasury bonds were flat. This is Marketplace. States that want to use electronic voting machines next year better get their act together. They have until the end of the month to meet reliability standards. Stacey Vanek-Smith reports there are security concerns, too.
The fate of touchscreen voting machines is still a little touch and go. Complaints now center on whether federal testing labs are adequate, and electronic machines from industry giant Diebold are being blamed for disruptions in last year's California primary. Bev Harris is executive director of election watchdog group Black Box Voting. She says the current vulnerability isn't so much to outside hackers, but to people involved in the election process.
Who have access, and if you have a certain level of access, what could you do? Because a tremendous amount of power and money is at stake in every election.
Harris points out that about 2 million people work the polls in federal elections, and in some cities, like San Diego, volunteers actually keep the voting machines in their homes. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
From American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by The Economist, the weekly publication of international news with commentary and analysis on world politics, business and finance, technology and the arts, on newsstands and at economist.com. And by Medtronic, alleviating pain, restoring health, extending life. Medtronic, on the web at medtronic.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
If you want a piece of billionaire investor Warren Buffett but can't pay $90,000 a share, here's your chance. This week, Wachovia offers securities linked to Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway for just $15. These are really tiny pieces of Berkshire's B stock, which is already 1/30th of a regular share. Newsweek's Alan Sloan says, don't bother.
What they are is you're making a loan to Wachovia, and what Wachovia agrees to do as a condition of this loan is to give you at some point down the road maybe cash equal to some equivalent of Berkshire Hathaway stock, except these particular securities have tons and tons of fees associated with them. And no matter what happens, the security you buy because you think you're buying into Berkshire B is going to perform in the market much less well than Berkshire B will.
Alan, does your advice on this apply to other offers of this kind or just this particular one?
There are other things like this, vaguely like this out there, things called index-linked notes. But the few of those I've looked at, even though those are securities I would not buy, and I would buy the stock rather than the security that's linked to the stock, there's always seems to be some aspect of the security that's better than the stock. You might get your money back. You might get a higher cash return than the dividend. There seems to be some sort of rationale for owning the security rather than owning the stock. Here, I cannot see any reason that anybody would buy this rather than buying Berkshire B stock. The only possible reason to do it, which is ridiculous, is when you look at your brokerage house statement, I suppose it would look better to say, I own 200 Berkshire-linked strategic access securities than this little thing that says one share of Berkshire B. Maybe you feel better about yourself.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out who might be motivated to do something like this.
The people who would be motivated to do this are people who don't understand what they're buying. But if you get a call from a broker who says, gee, you can buy a piece of Berkshire for $15, that sounds very attractive, except you're not buying a piece of Berkshire. You're making a loan to Wachovia.
And what does Berkshire think about this idea?
Buffett is not commenting on this. And the way the world works, Berkshire does not have to give permission for Wachovia to do this. And it clearly didn't give permission. I'm sure that Buffett, who is very zealous about his reputation, I'm sure he's really angry. If I were inclined to go to Omaha for the annual meeting of this company, of Berkshire Hathaway in May, I'm sure he'll have things to say that will probably be very nasty and extremely funny, but I can't forecast them.
Alan Sloan is Wall Street editor for Newsweek. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a good Monday.
American Public Media. San Diego's getting...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.